United States of Horror
may contain some graphic
or explicit content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, Kaylee.
Hello, Jeffrey.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
How was your Christmas?
It was fantastic. It was nice. It was low-key.
You had some good food and got some good gifts. Thank you, by the way, for my gifts.
You're welcome. Thank you for my gifts.
And thank you, everyone, who listened to our episode, even though you didn't have to.
Yeah. Thank you to everybody who's been liking our page recently.
I feel famous now.
I'm not sure where you came from, but hello.
And I hope you enjoy our banter slash informative episodes,
I guess. So this will be our last short, not sequential,
real episode.
Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, going with the states or actual stories.
Yeah. We just wanted to give you some little like short fun episodes for the New Year's and all the holidays and something chill, so relaxed.
And if you notice, our title is part two, so the holidays consists of what, Kaylee?
Well, we did a bunch of, like, Christmas-related stories last episode. And this episode, we're going to be talking about things that happened on or near New Year's.
Yay, New Year's. We definitely need a new year. Can I get a cashback? Can I go to the store? I don't want this anymore. You can keep it. It's trash. This
year was trash. You know, a lot happened in the world of true crime of 2020.
It is.
In 2020.
It really did. A lot of people got caught. A lot of people died.
Golden State Killer was convicted and sentenced. And
Little.
Stood trial. Samuel Little. We just read an article that he passed away, which I'm pretty sure he didn't get through all of the trial or anything, so.
Not really. He just got sentenced to two, and
there was so much more that they could have done, and that in itself is really, really sad to me, because there's a lot of answers that are going to remain.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of questions that are going to remain unanswered.
I was reading some of the people's opinions, like one of the sheriffs I was talking to, an interrogator, and he had so much information. Like, he would just start saying, I kind of remember that, and start drawing a picture of someone.
Yeah.
And that's who they would go find, like, a 30-year-old case.
And they substantiated a lot of his claims. But I think we're going to talk about him, so we shouldn't get too much into it. Anyway. And then also the Zodiac Killer, his code finally got deciphered.
One of his major codes.
One of his main ones that they've tried forever to decode. So that's pretty big.
And I'm famous now, apparently. So I can't wait to get, you know, live in some rich place like California in like the hills, or is that the hills? Malibu?
I don't know.
I don't know California, guys. Don't hate me.
Yeah, we're not moving to California, but
I'm Arizona. Red and Chino Valley. Not even from Phoenix. So don't hate me. Oh, speaking of which, we still have a like 20 miles from, sorry guys, brain fart. 20 miles from my house, they found dead bodies.
Body parts, sorry.
Yeah. Precise. We made news again.
Yeah, we did. That's really interesting. We'll talk about that on our next Camp Horror, I think.
I think so, too. That way more information will come out.
So lots of future stories. But it's been a big year. It's been a good year for the podcast. We did tons of episodes on new states, and there's been some, like, switching around of people.
Yeah.
As in Brenton left us, but it's fine.
It's fine.
I guess. It's like
that. It's hard being a dad.
Yeah.
We have more layaway because, you know, we're living together also, and especially with the lockdowns and everything, so.
It's been difficult. It's been a weird year to navigate, but all in all, we're happy to say goodbye to 2020. We're looking forward to the new year, and
even our cat agrees.
Yeah.
Get out of here, kitty.
We are definitely hoping that none of you experience some of the things that we're going to be talking about today.
Wait, whoa. Oh,
well, at least my particular story.
All right. Murder? Most foul?
Yeah, of course, always.
Death.
Destruction.
Okay. You want to go first, Kaylee?
Yeah, why don't... Okay, so mine's just... there wasn't a lot of information because it's very new and it's still up and coming, but I thought it would be cool to talk about this year, and maybe potentially by next year there'll be more information on it.
Oh yeah, new case, new year. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, right? So, at 11:43 p.m. on December 31st of 2017, police received two calls about a shooting on Wall Street in Long Branch, according to affidavit of probable cause filed against Kalogi. So this is talking about Scott Kalogi, who was 16 at the time. He murdered his parents, 42-year-old Stephen and 44-year-old Linda Kalogi, his sister Brittany, who was 18 years old, and his grandfather's life partner, Mary Ann Scholes, who was 70. And this all happened at his house just minutes before midnight.
But is his cat okay?
Do they have a cat?
I don't know. I actually don't know. No, talk about, you know, new year, new me. Yeah.
So, I guess he found an unlocked gun rifle within the home, loaded it, and went down and just started firing.
Huh.
Yeah.
And maybe Call of Duty? It's all the video game's fault.
Oh, my gosh. Well, obviously, at the time, he was a minor, and so there's not a whole lot of information out about him.
Yeah.
From what I've read, I think I get into it, but he, I guess, has severe autism, and he was being homeschooled. So,
okay.
I mean, we don't know the circumstances surrounding that.
I have to wait for more of the information to come out and everything.
Yeah. So, he was arrested at the scene by officials, and during the search of the scene, police recovered a Century Arms model C39V2 rifle that was legally purchased by a family member of Kalogi's family in 2016, according to the affidavit. So, there were some that were actually able to escape. So, his grandfather and his Andrew Kalogi, his brother, escaped the family home during the shooting. And then Scott's elder brother, Stephen Jr., and another young family friend, Jonathan Ruiz, were able to flee as well. So, Ruiz and Linda Kalogi's son from a previous relationship. So. That's oh, sorry. Said. Ruiz was Linda's. Okay. So, their stepbrother.
Oh.
Or half-brother.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The murder stunned Long Beach surrounding communities, marking tragic start to 2018 at the Jersey Shore.
Long Beach or Long Branch?
Branch. Did I say beach?
Yeah. No, yeah. I was thinking about that, too.
We were talking about California.
I know. That's why I was, like, joking, too. And then you said New Jersey. I'm like, Jersey Shore. I'm like...
That's not right.
I'm like, there was a two completely opposite
sides.
I know.
I misspoke. My bad.
Where's the situation?
So, he was charged with the shooting deaths of his parents, sister, and family friend when he was 16 and has pleaded not guilty to murder and weapons charges.
Hmm.
Which is really confusing to me because they have all the evidence against him. So...
Well, it could be also how his state of mind was at the time or...
Yeah.
If you said he has autism or a certain kind.
That's alleged.
Alleged.
I haven't been able, like I said, there's not a whole lot out there because at the time he was a minor. And this is just happening this year. Not even a few months ago.
He was on trial.
And pled not guilty.
Okay.
So as of 2020, he pled not guilty. A lawyer for Scott Kalogi, 18, entered the pleas during a court hearing Monday, which was, like I said, earlier this year. So some Monday earlier this year. He initially was charged as a juvenile in the shootings that occurred at his family's Long Branch home on New Year's Eve in 2017, but the case has moved to adult court. Was a move to adult court last November. Authorities haven't disclosed a possible motive for the slayings. Defense attorneys sought in December to have Kalogi transferred to a psychiatric facility, but a judge ordered him to remain behind bars pending trial. They have said Kalogi's mental health issues include a history of hallucinations, autism, and distorted thinking.
Maybe also schizophrenia or something.
I'm sure there's something in there because you don't just pick up a rifle and shoot your family on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, typically.
And the whole 16 to 18, that's a big deal too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely have to look into that.
So we'll keep you guys updated, but I thought it would be interesting to kind of follow along and kind of see where he ends up. So, and all the details. Hopefully the details emerge, because this is really intriguing to me. It's like, why? There's that big question mark of, like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, what caused him to snap? So.
Fascinating, Kaylee. Thank you. Yeah,
no problem.
So.
Just a short little tidbit.
I got something or two for you guys.
Ooh, good.
Because I'm actually going to, you know, do what I do best.
Carry us.
I was going to say read from a website.
Oh.
But kind of. So I found some stories online at hauntedjourneys.com.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, I don't know if it's real or not. You know, like Reddit stuff, not always true, not always false.
Yeah.
But then I actually started reading about places at, like, hotels.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh. Started looking up. They're real.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're for sure 100% true stories, but the places and locations are real.
Okay.
So the first one is The Lady in Red Phantom. So I was like, interesting. On New Year's Eve of 1920, and a good 1920s, whenever it's good. Not really, it was bad back then, and it's still bad now.
1920s, wow.
Depression, everything else. That is,
100 years ago.
100 years ago. Almost 101 years ago.
Oh my goodness gracious.
The Drake Hotel celebrated its opening night with much glamour and tinsel. It was both magnificent and tragic. It was magnificent because the Drake was to be one of Chicago's most beautiful and celebrated hotels. By the way, I'm reading off the site, so don't hate me if I sound good. It was tragic because, according to legend, it was the night the woman in red ended her life.
Oh, no.
I don't copyright, oh, gosh, sorry. Kaylee.
We watch too much TikTok.
She does. I'm just stuck with it. On this day, a man and his fiancée, who was, you know, in the red silk gown, attended the gala held in the Drake's Gold Coast room. The man stepped away and did not return, so his fiancée went looking for him. She found him enthralled by another woman. Scandalous.
Oof, that's rough.
In the Palm Court parlor, the devastated woman climbed to the roof and jumped to her death.
Aww.
It's a red... Oh, never
mind. Jeffrey.
Since then, guests at the Drake have reported seeing her apparition in the Gold Coast room, Palm Court, and on top 10th floor, as well as the roof. Condemned to replay her final night, her restless soul wanders, attempting to find peace with the final tragic chapter of her life.
Oh, that's so sad.
Me, 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 me. So, yeah, they apparently see her in her red outfit, see her crying, and they get a creepy and uncomfortable feeling in the ballroom. I mean, I do too. I don't like dancing.
Interesting.
So.
You don't like dancing?
Dancing. No.
What?
Okay. The Phantoms of the Inn. Dun, dun, dun.
Interesting.
The Inn. The I-N-N. The Inn. Not the other Inn.
I think they probably could have guessed that.
On Main Street Bed and Breakfast, located in Weaverville. Not Weaselton. Weaverville.
Oh.
North Carolina is indeed very spirited on New Year's Eve, although the innkeepers of this historic bed and breakfast will not admit it's haunted.
Oh, I hate that. But it's almost worse whenever they are, like, overly, they try to push it.
Too much, and, like, nothing happens at all. Yeah,
because then it feels like they're trying to just sell it. You know what I mean? They're trying to just get people to come in for that purpose.
Yeah. I think this is more of a letdown if you don't see anything than say, oh, it might be haunted, and then see something.
Yeah, I think it's more spooky.
So, there's no denying the tales told by guests of staff verifying the house spectral activity. Phantoms lurk in its spaces. Ooh! What? Phantoms lurk in its spaces.
Ooh.
Sorry, guys. Pronunciation. Like this. I forgot where I was, guys.
Uh-oh.
Make an appearance on New Year's Eve. So apparently they come out a lot on New Year's Eve. It's okay. I just lost myself, guys. I do that a lot. I'm drinking too much of that champagne on New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking strangely on New Year's Eve, guests frequently hear pictures fall off the walls multiple times. Never find physical evidence of them actually falling. Is this a residual haunting or just too much champagne?
It's hard to say.
I mean, it could just be... Sorry. I scared her, guys. Sorry.
Oh, God. We're leaving it all in. We're not editing any of this, just so you know.
So, in addition, Minnie also hear the back door open and then close. Yet again, no mortal is ever discovered entering the building.
Interesting.
So, stop slamming stuff. You don't pay for anything in this hotel, guys. This, I pay for it. I pay the bills.
Stop letting that dang AC out.
That door. Don't slam that door. I'll give you something to slam about.
You slam that door one more time, I'm taking it off its hinges.
I'm getting an exorcist.
What?
Wait, what? I don't know. A pastor.
I'll exorcise that door.
Exercise?
Exercise.
Extra fries? Shut up.
Speaking of New Year's resolutions.
Do you have any?
Yes, I want to eat more fries.
I want more tater spices.
Okay,
we're getting off
anyway,
topic.
Sorry, go ahead.
The house was built 100 years ago by a doctor. Impressive. The innkeepers... know of at least one person that has died in the house. A blood stain remains under the tiles. That's probably why it's haunted, guys. Don't be deal,
we
right?
We should turn this operating room into
a bed and breakfast. Bed and bathrooms and a bathroom.
It's like as if they went to like...
It has a drain for all the stuff, Kaylee.
Oh, that's true.
Blood. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
The stain was never able to be removed, even with sanding. Resorting it to be hidden with tile. Could any of these haunts have a relevance to the celebrations of New Year?
Maybe.
That's when most of these hauntings happen. Do not hesitate from staying at this inn. On the other hand, be fascinated for the opportunity. So, that's that one story.
Interesting.
Little inn.
I'd love to stay there.
And blood and death.
Next time we're on that side of the world, I guess.
Exactly. So, I got another little one, if you guys want. I can read off this list a little more, because I'm good at this.
You're doing fantastic.
I'm not good at doing notes, so I steal people's notes.
We'll just reference the article. What is it?
I did already.
Oh,
hauntedjourneys.com.
Oh, perfect.
There are top 9 haunted things on New Year's.
Nice.
So, here's number 4 for you.
Number 4.
On the page, this is my third story, just in case you get confused. The man in the yellow raincoat. So, this reminds me of right off the top of the bat.
The lady in red.
No.
I'm just kidding, I don't know.
Curious George.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Wow, Kaylee.
Well, I was just thinking the lady in red, the man in yellow.
Okay, guys, I get it. What about poor colorblind people that can't see the colors? You guys are mean.
Yeah, very, very... I mean, they're not inclusive.
I mean, he's wearing a raincoat to me.
Just a raincoat.
Just a raincoat.
Why does it have to be yellow?
So, the Haunted Agora Theater and Ballroom in Cleveland, Ohio, has its own New Year's creepy story. Ooh. A holiday ghost hunt once December 31st was planned to seek the legends that haunt this historical venue. The entity they sought most was the ominous man in the yellow raincoat.
Interesting.
During the investigation, one of the ghost hunters felt a splash of cold water on the back of her legs. Upon reaching down to find the source, she found that her tights were dry and there was no one behind her who could have spilled liquid. Still, a strange wet sensation remained tingling continued where she felt warm water minutes after the encounter.
Interesting.
So it's not, maybe it's called blood. You're inside blood.
Blood
people. This, in fact, is a common experience, all attributed to the man in the yellow raincoat. I wonder if he's wearing a bottom, or are we just wearing a giant raincoat?
Well, I am envisioned like one of those shoulder to like ankles raincoats,
like a poncho.
Yeah, one of the long raincoats, but maybe it was just, I don't know.
Like a trench poncho raincoat? A French watch haul. Oh!
What?
I don't know. The iconic apparition is not shy. He has been seen on the stage on the catwalk. Yeah, you walk a boy. You walk, boy. You, yeah.
Strike a pose.
Strut that thing.
Vogue, vogue, vogue.
And in several of the viewing balconies. Apparently, he is interactive with spectators, often casting disciplinary looks when the audience is naughty.
Interesting.
Oh, daddy.
Stop that.
No.
Or else I'll show you something.
No.
Under this raincoat.
Jeffrey.
What? A belt? You teach him a lesson.
Oh, no.
Okay, daddy.
They didn't. Anyway. All right. I don't have much to say on that.
I don't either, guys.
Daddy raincoat.
Daddy raincoat.
Okay, continue.
Other experiences that may have encountered, including doors opening on their own and appearance of what looks like bloodstains in the basement.
You called it.
I told you. It's always bloodstains in a basement or in a bathroom.
Always.
That used to be a,
surgery. I hate the vanishing ones, you know, whenever they're like, they'll show up and then somebody will scrub and scrub and scrub and it will never come out of the carpet. And then all of a sudden one day it's just gone.
And then you go back the next day and it's there again.
And then
again.
It's there again.
And you're like, okay.
Phantom stains. That's spooky to me.
It sounds like you need, like, police work with that little UV ray light.
Ooh.
Ugh.
I wouldn't want to do that.
That is a daddy phantom, man.
What?
Trench coat, man. The Agora Theater and Ballroom has seen the performances of Elvis. Thank you very much. And the Beatles. I'll keep my opinion to myself. A lot of people hate me for it.
You don't. We're not even going to say it.
I think we'll lose all of our fans.
Hey, Jeff. Don't be a dick. Continue your stories before we all hate you.
It's also home to some spirits. Besides the man in the yellow raincoat, many apparitions have been seen. A psychic once did an investigation and said the spirit's name was John.
John. Really close to Jeffrey.
Jacob. I mean, Jeff. Jingle Hammerschmidt. Wasn't John the name of the guy in the yellow suit with George?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't remember.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
Who's the man on Curious George?
Here are matches for Curious George. Curious George. That doesn't help me. Christmas. Curious George.
Oh, well.
I'll look it up while you continue.
So, that's it. That's the end of that story, Kaylee.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. Oh, okay. We'll never know what happened to the guy in the yellow raincoat. But guess what, Kaylee? Want to hear another one? This one involves the lady in white.
Oh, my goodness. It's always a lady wearing something.
Or some guy wearing something. Why can't there just be a naked ghost running at you?
That's very true. Or like, I think that they just call him the man in the yellow hat.
That's kind of rude. He has a name, guys. Name him. His name could be Ernesto or something.
It could be.
Ernesto?
It's played by a Jeff.
Jeff Bennett.
What is the name?
You don't know Jeff Bennett?
Ted. His name is Ted. It's not even John.
Ted? Ted Cruz? Zodiac Killer? I knew it. Why do you have a monkey? He's Ted Cruz?
Also Curious George, or the man in the yellow hat.
Zodiac Killer is? Wow, guys. Wow. You learned so much this episode.
So many revealing things.
All right, so do you think I should do one more or two
more?
Yeah,
I think you should do.
Okay, guys. We'll see how I feel, I guess. The lady in white. Have you ever experienced a stranger suddenly turning up at a party you hosted? Apparently, this is just what occurred in this story. An unexpected guest materialized out of nowhere and joined the storyteller's New Year's Eve party. All the doors and windows were locked, and no one admitted to letting the old woman who was dressed in all white inside the house. That's kind of terrifying.
That is really creepy.
Get out of here, old lady. Get out of here. You don't belong here.
Oh.
I don't know.
You don't belong here. That reminds me of, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't and that haggard old lady just appears at the party.
You're like, you want to get rid of me? Really? See what happens.
See what happens. You're cursed. Turn into a beast.
So, being in the festive mood, the hostess did not ask her to leave. Apparently, the lady in white reported she was lost and couldn't find the party she was actually heading to. It's all right, guy. It's okay. Just get on this keg stand.
I still will not let her stay.
Drink some of this jingle juice with me.
Jingle juice.
It's like jungle juice, but Christmassy.
But cranberry. Lots of cranberry.
Lots of cranberry. Or spice. Or,
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Don't do the cinnamon challenge, guys. You'll die.
I feel like you've warned them that before.
It's because I almost died. I had to warn them. Upon leaving the party, she dropped two scarves on the doorstep. To this day, nobody knows how she got in. Many say she is a symbol of a prediction that may not be good. To add to this mystery, the writer adds that her cousin saw the same woman in his dreams a few nights later. No one ever saw her again.
Interesting.
So maybe it was just a drunk, old, crazy lady.
It could have been.
Who like, wow, I'm here. Wow. Give me that
eggnog. She was just party crashing. She was actually really lonely and didn't have any other party to go to, but she just wanted some booze.
Maybe she's living in the basement the whole time.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. A good thing we have one living under ours.
We don't have a basement.
Not what you know of.
Oh, God. Help.
People dig it for me.
What? Dig it.
Dig.
You can't dig a basement once your house is already a place.
Wanna bet? Okay. Cut a hole and just start digging down. Get in there. Put the lotion on the skin. Otherwise, get
some. Oh, gosh. Yeah, he did do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Come or on, maybe Kaylee. It was already there.
Maybe. So, one more, guys? One more?
I think, yeah, you could do one more.
So, we kind of did this one already.
Do you want me to read it? Because you've read a lot.
It's if you want. This one we already kind of did already, but I think you it would be a good New Year's one.
Oh, my goodness. You were going to leave this one out?
No, I was about to do that one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this one is really exciting. So, this is the bellboy for the Hotel of the Dead Stars.
Dead stars? Dead.
Okay, of the stars. But it said dead in, like, what's it called?
Previously passed away.
Parentheses.
Parentheses.
I forgot that word for a second.
I forgot everything.
Maybe I shouldn't drink anything tonight. Okay, so besides accommodating the common traveler, the Monte Vista Hotel in Flagstaff, which we stayed at, and we have a spooky haunted episode on our Patreon about, because we caught some pretty interesting stuff, in my opinion.
In her opinion. We all have our opinions.
We pretty much had a conversation through our spirit box, but yeah.
So we had to check it out later.
Yeah, check out our Patreon for that episode. So anyway, the Monte Vista Hotel in Flagstaff hosts a number of otherworldly immortal guests and staff members. The legendary hotel opened on New Year's Day of 1927. So again, the
1920s. Yeah.
And during the 1940s and 50s was a popular spot for Hollywood guests, while more than 100 Western movies were filmed nearby. Some of the guests of the hotel were Bing Crosby, Jane Russell, Gary Cooper, Spencer Tracy, and many others. I don't remember the person who stayed in our room.
Really?
Who was it?
I forgot his name,
too. It was a really famous Western movie actor.
Yeah, I think
I don't remember his name.
I don't remember.
It's probably, like, Gary Cooper or something. I don't know. So one of the ghosts here is that of a phantom bellboy who knocks on the doors and then vanishes. This annoying phantom has been experienced by dozens of guests over the years. He's often joined by the ghost of a woman who's been seen outside of the Zane Grey Suite. Oh, the Zane Grey Suite. That's where we stayed.
Yeah.
No, that's where we stayed.
Is it?
Yeah, Zane Grey, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That's the one we wanted to.
It's the one that was above us.
It's the one that we booked, and then they gave us a different room whenever we got there. We were so mad.
Yeah. We were, like, underneath them, so.
We tried to, like, coax the ghosts to coming upstairs, but.
Like, we'll give you some free beer.
I know. I mean, the room that we stayed in is cooler than the one that.
It's right on the top corner.
It's in the top, very top corner.
You see over everything, and it's right by the sign, so.
Anyway. It turned out that two sex workers had been murdered in that room. Another phantom that hangs out in the Monte Vista Hotel is that of a man who endlessly paces the Gary Cooper room. He's often reported coughing and clearing his throat. Many guests have reported feeling unnerved by a distinct feeling that someone is watching them in the room.
Probably me. I was watching everyone.
The ghosts keep coming in this incredibly haunted hotel. There's a spectral entity that was a former bank robber, is said to haunt the saloon. Ellen Roberts, a hotel desk clerk, reported in 1970 three men robbed a nearby bank and to celebrate stopped in our lounge for a drink, even though one of the men had been shot during their escape. While having his drink, the wounded man died, and some believe he is the spirit that haunts this area of the building. While enjoying a drink in the cocktail lounge in this hotel, you may sense the spirit of a bank robber who died of his gunshot wound in that section of the building. Or you may experience some strange things in room 220, as did the maintenance man who returned to the room 5 minutes after leaving the lock, while leaving and locking it. Leaving and locking it up only to find the TV on it full blast and the bed linen stripped. Could these phantoms come to life during the celebration of the hotel's origination on New Year's Day almost 100 years ago? Many feel it does. So I guess we just went during the wrong part of the year.
Well, technically it was 1920s, right?
Yeah.
So 2020, Kaylee?
I know, but I mean, like, we should have...
Went on New Year's Day. And then we would have saw all the ghosts.
Yeah. But we did a more in-depth episode.
With more stories and stuff.
And all of our spooky stuff. And that's on Patreon. So, yeah. Well, it's definitely worth listening to.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on this wonderful day.
I went ahead and found an interesting fact about New Year's.
Oh, okay.
Because it's how we end all of our episodes.
End by shutting me up? Telling me to shut up?
Shut up, Jeff.
Yay!
Someone needs to go back and count how many times we said it this year.
Probably more than, I don't know.
Not more than past years.
Not more than past years.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see. So, the first New Year's celebration dates back 4,000 years. Julius Caesar, the Emperor of Rome, was the first to declare January 1st a national holiday. He named the month after Janus, the Roman god of doors and gates, and Janus had two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. Caesar felt that a month named after this god would be fitting.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little interesting. Just a little historical New Year's fact for you.
And remember, they changed a lot of this monthly calendar to meet all these standards. Mm-hmm. And each of the months represent a different god or different... you know what I mean.
Deity.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
Of some sort.
I don't know.
So, thank you.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for just a wonderful year of having fun. And I know that we're not, like, the biggest podcast out there, but we really appreciate you, everyone who listens and takes the time to just, send us love.
Let us know what we can do better for next year.
Yeah, we have a lot of things that we want to do. We just want to get through this. Not get through, but we want to finish season one before we start implementing some new stuff. Like I said, we're going to work on restructuring our Patreon. We're going to come out with some pretty interesting, not interesting, but cool merch stuff. So
yeah.
We're going to be working on that. And yeah, we should be back to our regular episodes next
week.
So, please, guys, have a safe New Year's Eve. I know Jeff is trying to outro like three different times, but I'm sorry that I want to give them a proper goodbye and greeting into the new year. Like, I think this is a big deal.
They want to be done with this year, Kaylee.
I don't think that they want to be done with our episode, though. They want to hear us tell them, like, Happy New Year's and stuff, I think.
Happy New Year's, guys.
Please be safe.
Happy Horror Days,
part 2. Do not drink and drive. There are plenty of resources. And
get yourself a DD.
Yeah. Please.
Crash in the parking lot. I don't care. Don't do that.
Crash?
Not crash. You know what I mean? Crash your body
like, on the ground. Nap.
Take a nap. Take a power nap.
They're going to get murdered in a parking lot, Jeffrey.
Well, they should. I don't know. They should.
Shut up, Jeff. Just get a DD. There's plenty of places like AA. Even a police officer, if you call the non-emergency line and you just tell them that you're stranded, you don't have money, you need a ride home, I can guarantee you that they would rather send a police officer to help get you home than send a police officer to your crash site. I can guarantee you that.
Yes. That is a good point.
So, anyway, be safe. Have fun. Happy New Year. It's 2021. Let's go and start this year strong and pray that it is better than 2020.
So, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Kaylee.
And we are
the United States of Horror.
Awesome. Bye, guys. Let's get the heck out of here.
Yes.
Where's my...